With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
We welcome you all to a Roll to Cast RPG podcast in the world of Avatar Legends by Magpie Games, starring Phil Harker-Smith as Zhang Pansong, Zola Allen as Clove Kehung, Sean Flerl as Tariq, and Ellen Graham as Kana Hoshi. Story, GMing, and additional rules by Chris Bond. Design by Jack Sumner. Music by Gareth Chin. This is Homeland.
Hello everyone and welcome to Roll to Cast, a weekly TTRPG actual play podcast with trained actors, original music and homebrew campaigns. Each season explores a new tabletop role-playing game. And this is season 7 and we're playing Avatar Legends. My name is Chris and I'm going to be your DM. I'm going to go around the table very quickly and introduce everyone, but I'd like to give the players and our audience the campaign name.
Oh, you have it?
Then we got the scoop.
Called Book One, Homeland.
Oh, that is so good.
Yeah, that makes I like it.
Damn, we've been greenlit
for a book two already, haven't we?
We have. My name is Chris Bond. I'm going to be the GM for this game. And we're going to go around the table and introduce the players and a little bit about the character that they're playing and their experience with Avatar The Last Airbender and Korra. Let's go and introduce Phil.
Hello, I'm Phil. I am playing Zhang Pansong, who is from the Earth Kingdom. He's a 17-year-old boy from the Earth Kingdom with a military background, and he is a weapon fighter. So he doesn't have bending, but he's trained under the militia of the Earth Kingdom and is ready to prove himself.
This is your second introduction as a 17-year-old boy, isn't it?
That's true.
How long have you been 17?
In an earlier season, you were in Kids on Bikes, which was season 5.
Yeah. 17 forever, Phil.
So that kid was very caring and very nurturing, whereas Zhang, is his playbook is the hammer. Which means he is all about the limits of force to enact justice in the world and how that butts up against the care you have for the things that you want to protect.
Very good. Let's move on to Ellen.
Hello. I am Ellen and I will be playing Kana Hoshi, who is a young firebender. She's 15. And I mean, already I'm off on the wrong foot here. She's looking to right past wrongs. Her worldview and what she originally originally perceived the Fire Nation as has kind of been brought down around her. So she's looking to make some change in the world. Her playbook is the successor.
Oh.
So she's fighting against her own traditions, whether she sways towards progress or falls back in line with tradition. That's... we'll see.
Well, it's up to you. Ooh. People at home, it's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah, vote. If you vote, vote Kana at 1-800.
Patreon.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Sean.
Yep. Yeah, my name is Sean. I'm back for another season.
Good to have you back, buddy. Oh,
I'm glad I was cast again. I will be playing the character Tariq. Tariq is a waterbender from the Northern Water Tribe in particular. Tariq is 16 years old. He's a bit of a scamp. He's a bit of a scallywag. He's got a bit of a joking demeanor, some might say, but more importantly, he has the playbook of the rogue. And so he's constantly pushed between friendship and survival. Can he do it on his own, or does he need a bit of a helping hand along the way?
We'll find out.
Again, vote at...
And finally, we're going to introduce, for the first time on Roll to Cast, our special guest for this season, Zola.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Oh, yes.
Welcome.
My name is indeed Zola. I am playing also an earthbender called Clove K. Hong. She has the playbook of the Guardian, so she's suffered a lot of personal loss in her life. So she kind of gets torn between trust and self-reliance. So at the moment, she's a very self-reliant character, and I guess it's, if you want to vote for her, you'd be voting for her to start to trust the other people. Her specific goal in like this campaign is to look after her ward, which is Zhang. So they have a connection together, and she is very watchful and very protective
of
him.
They're after Zola already.
Is that a
oh, yeah. You can hear the coppers.
I didn't tell my mum I was here.
It's the Fire Nation.
Great. So we've got Zhang, who is from the Earth Kingdom.
Yep.
He's a martial character.
Yep.
We have Kana, who is played by Ellen, who mm-hmm. is a firebender.
You got it.
We have Tariq, who is a waterbender from the Northern Water Tribes.
Yes.
And we have Clove, who is a earthbender from the Earth Kingdom. So we have two characters from the Earth Kingdom. One's a bender, one isn't. One uses a weapon, one uses bending predominantly. And this takes place during the 100-year war.
Yeah, so like no I said, airbenders. I feel like I've come to the wrong party.
yeah, a bit awkward, to be honest.
So we're right at the tail end of the 100-year war because it's 93 years into the war, and we have a Fire Nation which is getting close to taking large portions of the Earth Kingdom. We have Iroh as the Crown Prince mm-hmm. and Luten, his son. For those who are familiar with the TV show, the Siege of Ba Sing Se hasn't happened yet, but things are getting spicy.
Also, like for those not familiar... like I wasn't. Avatar the TV show, by the way.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, eh?
A little while ago, wasn't it? How long ago was Avatar?
It came out 2005.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was watching it while I was in primary school.
I think so 2005.
Yeah, so it was a Nickelodeon television show, heavily inspired by a lot of Asiatic cultures especially.
Yeah.
Went for 3 seasons. And then there's also the spin-off.
And inspired by the animation traditions of anime as
yes.
well.
Yes.
It's like a Western anime sometimes.
Absolutely.
Had a very successful live-action follow-up film as well.
Yes. We don't speak its name.
Are you the Avatar Aang? Sorry, I'll keep quoting that until the day I die.
I haven't seen it, thankfully.
Yeah, neither have I.
And I won't.
I don't think we've lost anything. But I will say that for our audience, these seasons are usually marked with the explicit logo. In your podcast catcher, which means that they contain swearing. This season doesn't have that logo because we're going to do it clean.
Mm.
There aren't going to be any cussing. There's not going to be swearing, which...
Lord help me.
No one told me this.
There won't be anything gratuitous or anything adult that isn't appropriate for a teen audience.
Yeah.
Like the TV show tackles larger themes and quite mature themes in some ways, we're going to be doing the same thing, but we're going to be approaching it with that same sensitivity and that same focus on making it approachable for young people.
Yeah. It's not an R-rated Avatar.
Not at all.
This is a show, or Avatar is a show and the world is kind of about growth and learning, as opposed to, you know, in this world, there's always a third option. There's always some sort of kind of spiritual journey that can be approached. It's about looking through the black and white and, you know, discovering, which I think is really, really cool for work, especially for young people.
And most importantly for our listeners, this is a show that you can listen to, particularly if you're an older person who's listened to previous seasons. This is one that you can listen to with kids.
Yes.
So
yes.
If you have children of your own,
or grandchildren,
you have students at your school, or you know someone who's got a bunch of kids who might be looking to give them something to listen to, this is a perfect season for them to listen to.
Or if you're an iPad baby, chuck it on.
Yeah.
Hey, oh my goodness.
If they haven't, and if you've got kids and they haven't watched Avatar the TV show, it is an amazing show.
It's so good. 10 out of 10 recommend.
I think we've all been rewatching it, or in some instances watching it for the very first time. And oh my gosh, it just has a way of really great emotional storytelling. Mm. It's never, yes, it is simple in its ways of tackling themes, but it's so good. It's like it's like Italian food, right? Where it's like, just because it's simple, it's simple because it's perfect. Do you know what I mean?
It's not good for you.
No. It's like, it's pure ingredients. You're focusing on the purity of what you're making.
Yeah, and it also talks about things that so many kids shows just like gloss over. It really goes in depth into like really emotional stuff that kids do go through.
Yeah. Grief and loss and personal change. And, you know, there's a developing story over the course of a season, but each episode has its own little arc, really neatly well written, and the characters are all really vibrant. A real kind of, you feel an instant connection to them within a couple of episodes when you first start. The show builds and builds and builds on those that great start, and you learn more, and those characters change so much. It really is like, it seems almost, you know, too reductive to say, oh, you know, it's a kids show.
Yeah.
Because it's got so much going on.
Well, I watched it for the first time as an adult, and I fell in love with it.
I was
at least 20.
When I saw it.
Well, all right, sure.
I do have a question, Chris, if you don't mind me throwing a question at your way.
Please.
Slinging it to you.
Please.
Why Avatar the Legends, the RPG?
Ooh. Because it's just been released, as I understand it. We got an early Kickstarted version.
We did. I believe this is the full version. It looks like this will be releasing in book form soon, as to when we're recording this. But it's Magpie Studios, which are really, really cool game studios. They've made games like Bluebeard's Bride, which I will not shut up about. We all know. But it's a really cool, diverse group of game makers. And so as soon as we learned about Avatar, we were kind of all...
To peel back the curtain, we were up until a week or so ago working under the quick start rules, and then because Ellen herself is a Kickstarter,
I'm a supporter, I'm a giver.
we have slammed through the full rules of this game, so you are getting all of the Avatar in this season. Mm. Yep.
I love that the guy who's wearing an Uncle Iroh t-shirt is like, yeah, we're just doing it because it's new.
It's not because I love it or anything. It
radically influenced my ideas of storytelling at the tender age of 16, and made me want to become a writer/director.
That's what we're here for.
Come on, give the people what they paid for.
That's a weirdly specific joke to make.
This show impacted me long after, you know, right through my adolescence. I was 16 when I started watching it. I binged it and consumed a lot of it very quickly in hot Australian summers when I was like 16 and 17. It made a huge impact on my life, particularly on the standard by which I consume media. Mm-hmm. I recognize that this is a show that can exist, so why aren't all shows just
amazing.
This good?
Yeah. I love it.
So I became a real snob about media when I watched this.
I love imagining you like just holding up DVDs like against Avatar and be like, no,
doesn't compare.
Think more me crouched on my like feet on a chair, on a swivel chair in front of a computer, holding myself, being like, this is amazing.
Like also, L from Death Note?
Yeah, exactly. Literally that.
I also think it's worth mentioning that. So I get to take credit for this. I love this.
Right.
One of our Patreon tiers was a show that we did called Lunch Dates with Loki, which was Ellen's baby, where basically you interviewed somebody, anybody, about fictional crushes that they might have. And yes. You brought your good friend Zola.
I sure did.
Who talked exclusively and ad nauseum about Zuko.
And
Zuko.
Passionately too.
And so, and like the thing is like, yeah, she's got to guess who we're talking about. And I literally thought I was so clever. I was like, oh, describe him as fiery. And then she like guessed in like 2 minutes. And I was like, yeah, maybe that was on me.
And then I just remember we got to this season. I was like, why don't we add a fourth person? Yeah. And what about that person who knows a lot about Avatar?
Very, went on and on.
Maybe more than all of us.
It's very exciting.
Zuko is super illustrative of a character. He starts one way, starts as an antagonist, and it gets loads of depth to them as they move through, right?
Yeah.
Now, what's the opposite of a heel turn?
A face turn.
Yeah, face he has turn. A real face turn, which is funny because of his face.
Hey, hey now.
My goodness.
Should we talk a little bit about, like, if people are new, we talk about the quality of the show and, you know, where it's pitched, but, like, what about the world of Avatar and its rules?
Yeah, absolutely. So the world of Avatar has the central conceit that there are people who are able to manipulate one of four elements: fire, earth, water, or air. And there is a avatar, a character who is able to control all four elements, who maintains stability over the world. Because these element benders are kind of regionally locked. They're, broadly speaking, ethnically informed peoples. They are civilizations and they have rich cultures. And they often don't get along with each other. And so it's the avatar's duty to maintain order and balance.
It's also like each bending style or each manipulation of the elements is based on, it's drawing strength from a certain...
different martial arts.
Yeah, a certain character or a certain, you know, so firebenders, it's like drawing strength from the sun. So it's like, you know, this whole theme of there is one that represents unity in all. If firebending is passion, then the opposite must also be respected and held in kind of one figure, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot about balance, balance within you and balance within the world as well.
I also just ethnic, like regionally locked, it's like, sorry, the uploader has not made waterbending available in your country.
A little bit, yeah.
And I mean, balance, like balance being such a central theme in the show, it's pretty much the central mechanic of the game as well.
That's right. So in this game, you take on one of those characters in that world and you roll 2d6, two six-sided dice.
The only die you need for the game.
Those are the only dice you need. And the game focuses predominantly on collaboratively telling a story. There isn't a lot of animosity between the players and the GM. So the role of the GM isn't supposed to be working against the players. They're working collaboratively with them to tell a great story. And my focus is on helping shift that story forward. And I do that predominantly by the cool, unique system that Avatar Legends has, which is balance, where your characters are primarily drawn between two conflicting ideas.
Principles.
And how do they live with those ideas, those principles? How do they manage them? How do they go on through their existence, moving between them, shifting along that track? And if they go too far one way or the other, they might fall off their track. They might fall off entirely and become something other, something different.
Well, I'd really like the idea that as you move along the track towards one end of your principles, when you roll with that, you become stronger. Say I'm far along the force track, I'm getting +3 force rolls. But that further I tip, the closer I come to losing my balance and going through something traumatic or reckless or dangerous because of that lost balance. So there's power to be found in sticking to your principles and investing in them. But as we keep saying, balance has to be maintained. Otherwise, there are consequences.
Mm. We see it happen in Avatar as well, of characters who have this inner conflict. And, you know, even when it's not the universe or the situations, it is their own inner turmoil that is kind of just their whole world is off kilter. And it's really interesting to see characters who are changing, who are growing. And as a result, the whole shift that their perspective and their world needs to make in order to accommodate that.
It's also a system that, like, as you said, it relies on collaborative storytelling to such an umpteenth degree that, you know, there's also this focus on the players, like it's your story, literally, like it's your path and you have such like a hold over your own destiny to the point where the GM doesn't roll dice. Like, it's exclusive. Like, we are literally in charge of our destinies in that regard. Like, the players roll everything. And it's never contested against Chris.
Yeah, he can bring NPCs and situations to us. And he can adjudicate what moves we're making and therefore what stats we're rolling with. But he is not rolling dice like against us ever, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think you said it, Chris, where you were saying your role is primarily to guide the story, which I think is really it's just a really cool perspective. And I love games that are collaborative because it doesn't feel antagonistic, or it doesn't feel like, you know, some games it's like, especially like D&D, people are like, oh, I'm going to kill your characters. Or look at my secret little screen. I love D&D, don't get me wrong. But it's like my secret little screen, which you will not know. And I will throw monsters at you from behind it. Whereas,
yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love D&D too, but it does very much feel like, you know, there's you and then there's the DM and you're kind of...
I know, how great.
And you have to... You have to conquer the challenges, rather than create something.
And that's right. It's very much that style of Avatar, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is a collaborative game. This is a one where I'm not being animosity. I don't have any animosity to you as players.
Animositous.
Animositous. But this is a collaborative game. And speaking of, let's start building our world.
Yes. So, wait, before we do, can we go around and say what nation we think we come from?
Oh, us as people.
You know, us as people. Because that's like, other than like Harry Potter houses, I'm always like, and which bender are you?
Oh, can someone pick for me?
Yeah.
I'm terrible about knowing who I am.
I think I would be a waterbender. I feel like I'm quite a sensitive person. And water
healing
is a,
as well.
Yeah, water is a kind of compassionate healing element. I love Tai Chi, which is what it's based on, those flowing movements. And they're like little cultures, they're little tribal cultures that are very focused on the little community. So I imagine myself as a southern water tribesman.
I would like to think that I'm water, because I do think I'm pretty go with the flow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I guess in creating Kana, I was like, oh, I'm actually quite a passionate person. And sometimes I have these deep like bursts of moral justice, or like, this cannot be, like, this is not right. And it makes me upset.
Yeah. I would put you as fire.
Yeah, same.
I don't have enough passion to do. Like, I thought this. I was like, fire, but also, I don't have a drive to be in the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
But I feel I am quite stubborn. So I feel like Earth Nation is kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm pretty stubborn. Can be a bit difficult to deal with.
There's an argument to be had for air, I think, for you.
I was going
to
say kind of air.
You're very playful and light and...
Everyone wants to get rid of me.
I could see...
Oh, ouch.
No. I
Could
see you soaring through the skies. Yeah, I could see you buzzing about in a little ball of air. I could see that.
Oh.
You would love your own sky bison.
Yeah. I was going to say, Zola to me fits as air as well.
I think I'm air. Yeah. I feel like I always, but you know how you know I'm air? It's because I always flick between all of them. Like, I always find parts of myself in all of them. And then I'm like, I think I connect to myself a lot. And I think that's a very air nation.
And I guess air nomads or the air nation, they're quite unattached to certain ideas or ego even. So it's like you said, with flitting between things, I like you as a person, I don't think has got a big ego, and so you're happy to like go with different ideas.
Yeah, it's bad. I change my mind too often.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes, like, no, that makes you like, the Avatar. That makes Chris the Avatar.
Oh. Right.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. You're the director, so there you go. Well, yeah, we're all a different element potentially.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Sorry, that's so good.
Amazing.
So let's talk about our world.
Yeah.
And well, I'm going to orientate our audience and our players know we've done a bit of this work off mic, so we aren't going to play entirely as the game sets out, where we all step through it for you. The rules are really fantastic in stepping through how to co-create the world and how the players have an autonomy about that and have a voice in that creation.
That's in the speaking about the scope and everything.
That's
else.
Exactly like, yeah, right. Yes, and yeah. So we've done a lot of that off mic, just so that this episode we can get straight into the action after episode zero, because we have a fair bit of housekeeping to do as well. So this game is going to predominantly take place, maybe it'll go some other places. Predominantly in the Earth Kingdom during the Hundred Year War in the late stages of the war. The current Fire Lord is a Fire Lord Azulon. The current prince is Prince Iroh, the Dragon of the West.
I know these names.
And his son, Luten, is the next in line. And then his brother, of course, people who are familiar with the show, is Ozai. So this is before any strange political
maneuverings.
Yeah. And this is going to take place. The world of Altar isn't exactly lockstep in where things take place on the big map. It's a little vaguer, but for people who are familiar with the show, Senlin Village is where effectively we're going to start off our story, which if you've got the game, Avatar Legends, which I do really recommend that you do, that's near Natsu Island. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's a new region specifically for the game.
Oh, really?
Ah, yeah. Fantastic.
So it's across that bridge of water between the Fire Nation and the Earth Kingdom. It's actually the closest place between those two nations. He said, dangerous. Deliberately picking that space.
Makes sense. I wonder who will come across.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know who you're looking at.
What could possibly happen? The central premise of our story is one of determination, bringing them down, revenge maybe even.
Petty revenge.
A fight for justice.
A fight for justice. A great way of framing that, Phil, for your character. Yeah, we have Zhang Pansong, who is a soldier of the Earth Nation.
Well, he wants to be.
He's a young man who is effectively kind of squiring, assisting his sort of militia.
His father and the militia that he fights for. So it's often sort of guerrilla warfare at this kind of stage with the occupying forces. And Zhang himself has been desperate to join the ranks as a full warrior, but he's been denied so far. He's not ready. He's too young. But he believes that he is ready to kick the invaders out of the Earth Kingdom.
He's but a boy.
But he is a young man. Not yet a man, maybe.
Some might say.
And who does he place blame significantly? What's his one person that he...
His adversary. So the hammers, one of the hammers' aspects of the playbook is that you have an adversary. And his adversary is a firebender by the name of Bashira Yuda. And he witnessed Bashira and his army of firebenders decimating a Earth Kingdom army in pitched battle, which his father's militia took part in. And unfortunately, after the Earth Kingdom forces were routed, he had to flee. And then he has no idea what became of the rest of the Earth Kingdom army, his father included. And he's really out to track Bashira down and bring him to justice and expel him from the Earth Kingdom.
You weren't alone on that battlefield. And as you fled with Zola.
Sorry.
A gnome from the Earth Kingdom.
They let me in the show.
Twas their mistake.
How did we meet up? How did you join up?
Yeah, so Clove left her hometown of Taku, which if you are familiar with the show, it's where the herbalist is. The Avatar gang spend an episode there.
That's when they all get sick.
That's great.
I remember things.
Yeah. So Clove is a trained herbalist and her father is off in the war and her mother has
being taken by the Fire Nation. So she's kind of lost her ties there and decides to go and also help with the war efforts. So me and the Hammer have a lot in common. And so I join the same kind of, what would we call it?
Militia.
Militia, yeah. Great. I join the same militia. So I am kind of a healer there. And I am healing in that battle where all hell breaks loose and Zhang and I kind of escape together.
Yeah.
And in that time, we've kind of formed a bond as well. And then obviously after that, being just the two of us, we've formed quite a close bond, which is why I also am like, he's my ward. So he's the person that I look out for. Kind of seeing in him this like fiery revenge, like makes me kind of want to look out for him as he's kind of my person.
You can see that he's on a path of possible self-destruction.
Yeah. You don't want to get too fiery.
Yeah.
Not in the Earth Kingdom.
I'm like, come back. Don't run away.
And don't lose yourself to the violence, because that's what turned the Fire Nation in on the, you know, towards a war machine sort of thing. Yeah. You don't want to become the enemy.
So while he's gone like down a path of kind of anger, I think she's gone down a path of self-reliance and kind of mistrust as well.
It's interesting that you're the same age, right?
And, yeah, and yet she's 17
as your
well.
Ward.
Yeah,
or you see
absolutely.
Him as your responsibility. Your, you know, so even there's a focus on protection and kind of your own maturity, valuing that over maybe your friends. Mm.
And Clove, not only being a herbalist, is also an earthbender.
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit about what sort of earthbending?
Yeah,
into.
So she kind of, I think her herbalism, like this connection to nature is really what leads her earthbending. So she's got like a very kind of strong spiritual connection to the earth. And so like her earthbending is more things like digging holes and like, yeah, stuff like that, like creating mud, things that kind of give life, as opposed to earthbenders we see a lot like Toph, who are very staunch and
aggressive.
Aggressive. Like I don't think you'll ever really see her getting a rock out of the earth and like throwing it at someone. That's like not her style.
Mm-hmm. The two of you are on the run effectively after fleeing a battlefield, hiding, surviving off the land, thanks a large in part to Clove's herbalism and kind of survival skills. When 2 months after the battle, you encounter a waterbender by the name of...
Hello.
Tariq
is his name.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was getting there. Just got lots on my iPad here.
The player who has changed his name twice since
we started talking about this.
And
right.
How did you get here?
Yeah, Tariq. What's Tariq's background and how did he join the trio so far?
So worth noting that also at character creation, we choose a background as well. So for myself, it was urban because Tariq is very much somebody who lived within the walls of Agna Kalar, which is the predominant city in the northern water tribe. And during the war, Agna Kalar had very much walled itself off from the entirety of every nation, basically, including its southern counterpart. So it cannot be broken, basically. Well, the Fire Nation either hasn't tried, or when they have tried, it's been unsuccessful. So he's never really seen war or seen much in the way of conflict. And B, he's not really aware of it. But as Mr. Tariq has been a bit of a rapscallion, he had to fend for himself and he got himself into a lot of trouble. One such point led to him being exiled from his own city of birth without any parents, without any family or friends to deal with. He was left to his own devices and by himself. So being somebody that, you know, heretofore has not been outside of the big city, he's in a completely unknown area without a direction, without a purpose, and without anyone else. So when he meets up with these two people after 2 months of eventually straight up boredom and also like no drive to do anything or be anything, it's like it's no simpler or more complicated than, oh, this is something to do, like in the most legitimate of ways. It's like, huh, here's two like war-torn earthbenders who seem to want another bender around them.
I'm not an earthbender.
Yeah, I know. Earth Kingdomers. Sorry. And yeah, so he kind of like looks at it and goes, you know, much as a bender, a water bender is meant to do, that idea of going with the flow, but not because he's going towards a sense of purpose, but it's like, well, I'm not doing anything else.
And you are playing with the handbook, the playbook, the rogue, which means you're torn between friendship and survival.
Yeah.
So a lot of the character growth that you your character is going to experience is going to be either forming friendships with people that are close to you, these new friends that you have from different lands that have different cultures and different opinions of things, or a reliance.
Or doubling down.
Doubling down and going back into yourself, a trusting of your own skill set and knowing that you've survived before, you can survive again, and that comes at the cost of other people.
Yeah, and it's not, it's like what I find interesting is that it's not so much around, like, because you can look at Zola's two principles and my two principles and they sound quite similar. There's trust and self-reliance and then there's survival and friendship. But it's a difference of, it's not that he doesn't trust people, just that he doesn't feel that he necessarily needs to be around people. Trust isn't really the issue. Just, oh, I've survived this long without people and friends who have not given a second thought to me, so I'm fine.
Yeah, it's more detached.
Yeah, and the more you rely on friendship, the less of your survival instincts you kind of have, I guess.
Yeah, or that he has to use,
has
right?
To use, yeah.
Like, he gets to, like, use a different side of himself. Because he couches everything in kind of a good nature and humor. And, you know, then the thing is, how much of that is actually him? How much of that is a smokescreen?
Mm.
The person who, you know, laughs instead of cries. And seemingly, whether it's true or not, just he also just doesn't seem to give much weight to the bigger states and politics in play in the world through either not knowing about it or just not really caring. And I think that's a big part of the dynamic too. Mm.
So 2 months after the battle, the two Earth Kingdom citizens, former militia, are joined by a waterbender. And then a month later, during their travels, they're joined by a... that's actually where our journey will begin.
Yes. How are we going to...
Maybe we don't meet the fourth person.
The first episode is going to begin with them meeting Ellen's character. Ellen, would you like to talk about Kana?
Sure, yeah. What in particular would you like to hear about?
Let's hear about what their background is, what sort of character, what playbook you're running from.
Yeah. How you ended up here near us.
It's a very good question. So Kana comes from a background of privileged. Her family are in the military, in the Fire Nation military. I feel like
we're just like staring at
everyone's Ellen. Just staring at me. We can't all control where we come from. Although I did select this character. Anyway, yes. So her family are in the military. She grew up in a very privileged life, never kind of wanting for anything. She's the only child as well. And she went to the prestigious Royal Academy for girls to learn firebending, which we learn a bit about in the world of Avatar, but it's a very strict school where it is discipline of overall, and it is so intense, the competition fostered between pupils, that there have been deaths from Agni Kais, or a one-to-one challenge, essentially. Like, this is the world that she has grown up in. She has had to be perfect, like the representation of her family's legacy. And as such, I chose the playbook, The Successor.
Ooh, you say,
who has to struggle between tradition and progress. So the kind of idea I thought about for this character is, you know, finding out with the Fire Nation's propaganda and spin on how they keep their people immune to the actual horrors of what is happening, learning what your family is doing, learning that your family is about to invade a different kingdom.
Everyone.
Yeah, it is about to invade, is about to colonize, is about to take over, and that being a thing that just kind of breaks within her, so she runs away.
Yeah, so Kana's family take Kana into Earth, the Earth Kingdom, from the Fire Nation. Mm. And upon witnessing the horrors firsthand, Kana flees, is hiding, and doesn't do a great job, isn't the survivalist that Tariq is, doesn't have that kind of survival instinct, doesn't have that ability to look after themselves, nor does she have the ability of, like Clove does, who knows the land, grew up on the land, knows everything about the Earth that they're on.
And this is Zhang's home turf too. He knows the land. Yeah,
And has no friends. And so Kana is living rough, doing it rough, and has escaped for about 2 to 3 weeks by the time from her family by the time at the first moment of our game will begin, the first act of our book. And that's where the story will begin. We do have a few things that we need to tie together. Very quickly, though, I just want to remind our audience of the ages of our characters, because I think some of us did, some of us didn't. Zhang is 17. Mm-hmm. Clove is 17. Tariq is 16.
Hello.
And Kana is 15.
Yes.
So that'll give you a bit of an idea of the maturity that these characters may or may not have, and their unique perspectives on the world. As when we're very young, we tend to have certain ideas about how the world works, and some of them are right, and we grow out of them, and that's a shame.
It's just funny because I teach 15 to 17 year olds in one class, so I know exactly what that dynamic looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not benders, but still.
A lot of growing up happens between 15 and 17.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Your whole worldview shifts.
It does
often.
A little bit, particularly if you've been frontline on a battlefield, like we all have.
No? Or to one and be like, here, this is your future.
Yay.
You will conquer these people alongside us.
Aren't you glad? Happy birthday.
So we're just going to do the connections between our characters. Now, some of them we've already talked about, because some characters have to have connections. Zola, as the guardian playbook, you have to have a ward, and you've got Phil's character, Zhang. So what other connections do you have to have?
My other connection is blank. Looks like they're more than capable without my help. I'm glad some of us can take care of ourselves.
So probably that'd be Tariq.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a survivalist, you know. Yeah. He's been thriving in
seemingly
the forest.
Fine.
Thriving. And I think also, like, because I think with Zhang, it's not that I don't think he can take care of himself. It's more like an emotional thing of, like, I worry about you and I worry about the path you could go down. Whereas, like, with Tariq, especially not knowing him as well, like, your description now of him being, like, a jokester who's a bit repressive, she's not necessarily going to see that in you. She just sees this guy who's very balanced. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the wardship being as much spiritual as it is physical. It's like, I have to protect you from becoming a bloodthirsty.
Yeah, because you're probably a better fighter than me. Definitely a better fighter than me. So it's like, I know you're fine on the battlefield.
But you have to stop me losing myself.
But what about his soul?
It's your internal fight.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a spirituality that a lot of benders, not all, but some benders have more than those who aren't benders. They have a leaning towards spirituality.
The spirits are real in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. The spirits world is very real.
That's something worth pointing out. Yeah, spirits are a big thing.
Yeah, they're who gave us bending.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any other connections that you need to lock down there?
No,
Zola?
They are my two connections.
Very good. Phil, do you have any connections?
Clove has a way to solve problems with words instead of fists. It's really impressive.
Right, that fits.
It's really impressive.
I love
it's
it.
It's great. And then my other is, I worry Tariq won't be able to hold their own when things get tough.
What do you mean?
I'm going to toughen them up.
Ooh. Great.
Yes, that makes so much sense.
Sure, you're a survivalist, but when it comes to fighting, I think you're going to run away, you coward.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time for you to learn how to hold your own on the front line.
Ah, very interesting.
Wow.
After our first game, we're actually going to revise these, because Ellen's character will be social dynamic. Yeah. And so we these aren't lock stock. These will tweak a tiny bit after our first meeting. We're doing this a little odd. We aren't having the four characters assembled at the same time. We are introducing one during play.
It's the pilot episode.
But I think that's really important for the story to be organic. And this is this sort of became what it became, which is, I think, most important, that it's that the story and game react to the players, that we aren't trying to fit everything into a small box. Sean, you have some connections.
Yeah, I do.
With Tariq.
So one of them I think will work perfect for
Kana.
Am I able to hold that connection?
Please.
But I'll let you know what it is now.
Yeah, thank you.
It's fine. So Kana is way too uptight.
Here we go.
Too trapped in themselves. They need to break some rules.
I don't know what you mean.
I ran away from home. That's enough rule breaking for a lifetime.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring you away from tradition.
I'm going to teach you how to break dance.
And then there's Clove is amazing, and I hope they like me. Maybe they're worth playing it straight.
Oh, I forgot to talk about the teenage crushes that will run rampant in this game.
Yeah, it is interesting, hey?
Well, this will be interesting. We have never in Roldcast history, we may not hit even on this each one. Other. Yeah, we've never had a player romance.
It's always been NPC romance. Yeah.
I feel like the romance is really important in Avatar because it is this like, it's a coming of age story, really. Mm. And like, they're done in such a beautiful, tender, genuine way. Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Just in opening our perspectives to other people, often we find love.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
not me, though.
Speaking of not you, Ellen, could you please tell us about your character's connections? Can you please, about Kana's connections?
So they are obviously not formed because I haven't met anyone yet.
However.
But they are to be filled. This person has major concerns, fears, or grievances with my lineage and with me by proxy.
I wonder who that could be.
I'm giving Ellen daggers.
I've never seen Phil angry, so this is upsetting and I don't like it.
That's why I'm playing this character. It's great.
It's a great change.
You need to shift your center, Phil.
Yeah, that's right.
And the other one is, this person seems free of their past in a way I wish I could let go of mine. Hearing them talk about the future feels amazing.
I think I know who that feels. Yeah.
Wow, these connections are so easy.
Yeah.
You've got your connect, Sean.
Oh, dear.
I got so many of those coming.
We need like a special soundbite anytime you do that.
Yeah. We are going to wrap up episode zero very shortly, but just to give everyone a sense of how the story is going to go, it's a story to take back a homeland, to maybe save a family member, to fight against your traditional family and your loyalties there, the heartbreak there. It's to find a place in the world or to reject it entirely. And it's a story about friendship, companionship, maybe love. Who knows? Ooh. I don't. Our players don't. But in a couple of episodes' time, I'm sure you will, listener. Where the story is going to begin in a forest because it's the Earth Kingdom and I feel that's appropriate.
You meet in a forest.
You meet in a forest. Other than that, I think that's pretty much where we're going to lead off episode zero. If there's anything else, just as a quick, this is for people who might have read the books and just want to be sure. All of the checklists, all of the X card sort of stuff, we're across that. We're all good with that. So that's all done.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure, just in case people are like, oh, they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, it's not a thing we often do. We play with each other quite often, and so it's not usually a thing we include in our session zeros. No. We kind of do that off mic.
We do that off mic. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We have a big chat before a production. So just to be aware that this isn't necessarily representative of an average game where four actors and a director.
But we're not your average.
Yeah, but we do believe wholeheartedly in absolutely. Safety tools.
Yes.
Integrate them into your games. Use them. They're very powerful. Storytelling games, collaborative storytelling games, can take you to wonderful places, but also some quite dark places. And that can be good, but it can also be quite scary. So safety features are paramount important. So make sure you do use them in your games.
Just so happens that we trust each other. That's a great point, Sean. Let's hear very quickly from our characters so that our audience can associate how our characters sound.
All right.
So who's this, Sean?
My name's Tariq. How are you?
And you're a waterbender?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
who wants to go next? Ellen?
My name is Kana, and I have to undo the wrongs my family has done.
Very good.
Very upbeat, right?
Yeah. Phil?
I'm Zhang. A warrior for the Earth Kingdom.
I love Zhang's voice.
Beautiful. And Zola.
I'm Clove. I'm an earthbender and a herbalist. I'm 17.
And she's too cool for you.
I think she's amazing.
And my name's Chris. I'm going to be the GM, DM, storyteller, facilitator, whatever term you want to give me. And this is
the Avatar.
Avatar Legends Roldcast Season 7, Homeland. We can't wait for you to join us, and we'll see you in episode one.
Yeah.
Bye.
You have been listening to Homeland, which is a Roll to Cast production. The best way to find us is on Twitter, Discord, and our Patreon. All our podcasts are on Acast, Spotify, YouTube, and all good podcatchers. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/rolltocast. Avatar Legends, the role-playing game, was created by Magpie Games. Nickelodeon, Avatar, and all related titles, logos, and characters are trademarks of Viacom International Incorporated.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.